Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our Green County Public Health Director, Becky Wolf, back with us again. So thank you very much, Becky, for coming back on.
Thanks for having me again, Coltrane.
Absolutely. Now, it's been a little while since we last had you on, Becky, specifically talking about COVID-19, and now I hear there's a brand new COVID vaccine booster that's available for people. Can you tell us a little bit about the requirements, recommendations for that new vaccine, i.e. maybe the age groups that can get it, and do you have to have the regular dose of the vaccine or even a prior booster in order to get this newest booster shot?
Well, that's a good question, and we're very excited to know that we have the new booster in stock. It was authorized for anyone 12 years and older who has received the primary series of either Pfizer, Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson, or the Novavax, and it's regardless of the number of doses or boosters that were previously received. And this booster is to be administered at least 2 months after a previous dose.
Does this one protect against the newest COVID strain? And then secondarily, what was the other strain that happened over the summer that lots of people were impacted by, even those who had gotten their vaccines before?
Yes, so the new booster protects against the newest COVID strain. It contains a mixture of the original COVID vaccine and the Omicron BA.4 and BA.5, which have been the dominant strains over the past several months.
Becky, if people would like to schedule to get that vaccine booster that are 12 years and older, how do they do that with your department?
Sure. So all they have to do is give us a call at 515-386-3228, or they can go on the Green County Medical Center website, and they will see the link to sign up for the online registration. We do offer them on Thursdays. There are times when we might be able to give the vaccine on other days, but, you know, there's a certain amount of doses in a vial. We only have a certain amount of vaccine, so we really don't want to have to waste it if we don't have to. So it's a little bit of a balance because we don't want to miss out on immunization opportunities, too. So just give us a call and we'll do the best we can.
Kind of turning our attention towards coming out of a pandemic, how has your department, Becky, shifted from being pretty much that full-on COVID response to resorting back to some sorts of normalcy? And have you reached what you consider to be maybe the normal again?
Well, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we're looking at, 2.5 plus years since we started. We continue to receive calls daily from the public with questions regarding isolation recommendations, like if they, you know, they tested positive at home and they're not really sure what to do. They also ask where to obtain testing. We get a lot of questions about traveling and testing. And we really do anticipate more calls now that school has started. I think the biggest challenge for us has been just being able to keep up with the information coming down the pike, especially with remaining up to date on all the vaccine changes. My nurses do a phenomenal job of keeping everything straight and trying to understand, you know, what vaccine, you know, when can you give it? What's the dosage? Do you have to mix it with another, a diluent? What's the time frame in between? It's just very complicated, but they've done an amazing job of keeping track of that.
As we shift a little bit more so, what are some other immunizations that are important for people to get at this time, Becky? Because I assume COVID's still a big one, but I'm sure there's other immunizations you'd like to get out there for the public.
Absolutely. So here at Green County Public Health, we offer routine vaccinations for children, for teens, and for adults. As far as the childhood and teen vaccines, we've got the diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, the HIB, which is a type of bacteria that causes meningitis and ear infections. We have the polio, the pneumonia, and the hepatitis A and B. We also have the Rotatec that protects against rotavirus, the HPV, which is the Gardasil or human papillomavirus. That's a cancer prevention vaccine that we strongly encourage parents to consider getting for both their sons and daughters. The Tdap, which is a tetanus whooping cough booster, and also meningitis. The other thing is for adults, we recommend, obviously, the annual flu shot and all the other age-appropriate vaccines like pneumonia, shingles, tetanus whooping cough, and other vaccines that are based on risk factors and in consultation with their primary care provider.
Now, I did notice that you mentioned the annual flu shot. believe it or not, I guess we're starting to head back into those colder months here with flu season going to be on the rise, I'm sure. When should people start getting their flu vaccine, Becky? And when is the peak of that season? And then additionally, do you foresee this flu season to be maybe as bad as it was last year?
Well, first of all, September and October are generally good times to get vaccinated with the flu vaccine. It's recommended for all people 6 months and older, with a few exceptions. We also have a high dose for the elderly 65 and older, and that means that there's like four times the protection in that particular vaccine for the flu. The peak season usually varies, but generally we see the increased cases between January and February. And as far as a prediction, they are talking a more active flu season this year. I tend to agree with that because of the fact that we're not wearing masks as consistently as we were a year or two ago. And so our bodies haven't had a chance to, you know, have exposure, but also when you're not covered by a mask, you tend to share, you know, germs with sneezing, coughing, and laughing and that kind of thing.
Well, Becky, as we kind of roll into another topic here I'd like for us to discuss, and that is the recent merger of the Iowa Department of Human Services and the Iowa Department of Public Health. How did that impact your department here locally? Another question to throw at you is, did it reduce any part of your overall budget, and did you have to maybe lose any state provided services or resources, or even reduce or eliminate any local programs?
Right. So the merger between the Iowa Department of Public Health and the Iowa Department of Human Services, the goal was to provide one-door entry for people that we serve. And then, you know, doing a good job between agencies of, you know, referring, just trying to make it more consistent and cohesive. We really have not seen an impact in our department locally. We've not had to do anything different with our budget at this point. We've not lost any services or resources, and we've not had to reduce or eliminate any local programs. Just as before, we partner based on which program we're talking about. We do partner with other counties to provide services locally, such as like our maternal child health program, but we really have not seen any significant changes.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program. Here with our Green County Public Health Director is Becky Wolf joining us once again. You're listening to the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.